Hey everybody, this is Mark Manson, and this is the commentary and analysis for The One Rule for Life, which aka is my love letter to Immanuel Kant, the famous philosopher. This was definitely one of those articles that, over the course of my career, you know, I could lump the articles I write into a few different categories. The first category I'll just call like bread and butter. So the bread and butter articles are articles that you know the audience is going to like, you know people are going to care about. You pretty much know it's, you know, as long as you don't really fuck it up, it's going to go over pretty well. The second category is a category I think of as tangents, which is I guess stuff that isn't necessarily, it's not bread and butter stuff, but it is tangentially related to the main themes of the website. So, you know, travel articles, articles where I talk about like politics or technology, like those are not the core things that people read me for, but they're tangentially related and they affect the main themes that people read me for. And then you have, I guess, what I would call leaps of faith, or I guess I don't want to call them risks, because honestly it's not like I'm risking a whole lot. It's just basically they are bold moves for expanding the core content of the website or of my work in general, and I understand that there's a good chance that not everybody's going to love it. And this article was one of those bold leaps for me. You know, the leaps used to happen quite often early on in my career, like the first 4 or 5 years of my career, because I was always trying to kind of expand my readership and expand what I was known for. This leap was very different. You know, I went through, once I kind of blew up and the book came out and blew up, there was a long period that was felt very safe, and that it just, I knew that if I stuck to the same handful of topics, everything would go great. And this was the first time in probably at least a year or two that I really struck out and was like, okay, let's see if the audience sticks with me for this one, because this one's going to be a little bit deeper. It's going to be a little bit more philosophical. It's going to talk about ethics. The reason I wanted to make this leap, there are a couple reasons I wanted to make this leap. One is just I find the general self-help stuff, it gets boring, it gets repetitive after a while. And I find that every couple years I need to like mentally step away from it to kind of come back to it with new eyes. And in the case of 2018, 2017, 2018, the way I stepped away from it and came back with new eyes was I really got back into Western philosophy. Now, I had read some philosophy in university and in my early 20s, but I didn't really understand it on a deep level, and I was way more into Eastern philosophy and meditation and Buddhism and things like that. So I never deep dived into it. And in 2017, I really came back to Western philosophy and started deep diving into it, and it was very revelatory for me. I would even call it life-changing, because I realized a couple things. One was that a lot of these day-to-day practical questions that we kind of see as self-help questions, how to be happy, how to have a good relationship, how to have a sense of purpose or meaning, these are ultimately, if you drill down deep enough, these are ultimately philosophical questions. And they are topics that have been written about and struggled over for hundreds, thousands of years. And so it was interesting going back to a lot of these philosophers and discovering that they had already dug way deeper on these subjects than I had even known was possible. And they had done it, you know, 400 years ago. So Kant was a favorite of mine. You know, I absolutely fell in love with Kant when I discovered him. And I wanted, he had, he had this thing called the formula of humanity that to me was just so fucking profound. And I really wanted to write about that because for me, anybody who's read me for a long time knows that I've spoken, you know, I've written for years about approaching relationships unconditionally, about how honesty needs to be stated with as a gift, you know, how you need to always treat yourself with dignity and others with dignity, how, you know, personal growth is not a matter of just achieving goals. It's a matter of respecting and loving yourself. And when I came across the formula of humanity, I was like, my God, this guy just summed up my entire career in a single fucking sentence. Like that is no exaggeration. And so I developed this like mini obsession with Kant. So this was my little love letter to him. And part of my challenge when writing it was I didn't want people's eyes to glaze over. You know, there was a simple challenge from a writer's perspective of how do I make this philosophical concept interesting enough and this guy interesting enough that people will stick with me for, you know, the 12 pages or whatever it is. And it was a ton of fun to write. I went through a period in 2017, 2018 where I was a little bit burnt out or a little bit bored, with some of the stuff that I was working on. And, you know, this piece was like a real, it was a passion piece for me. You know, it was a real joy. It was very personal for me. And I absolutely loved working on it. You know, I'd love to sit here and say that I love every single thing I work on, but it's just, you know, once you've been doing this for 10 years and you've written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles and 3 books, like it's just not realistic. There are some things that you're going to write that are, it's more practical. It's like, yeah, the website probably needs an article about that, so let's cook one up. Whereas this one was very much like, I love this idea. I want to share this idea with the world, and I want to challenge myself to see if I can do it. And so, as a result, this is one of my favorite pieces on the entire site. Part of it later got used in my new book, which is at the time of this recording is Everything is Fucked, the book about hope. I got criticized a little bit because people thought I just copy and pasted this article into my new book. And it's like, if you read that chapter and then come back and read this, you'll realize that it's like, most of it was changed or altered or whatever. So on to Kant himself. You know, I will say Kant's moral philosophy. Well, I want to say 2 things. One is just about ethical philosophy in general, or moral philosophy in general. Because I make kind of a snide comment or joke about it and then move on. And then one is about Kant specifically. So the thing about moral philosophy in general is when I kind of did this dive into philosophy and started reading a lot of moral philosophy, it quickly became apparent to me that I think moral philosophy is going to make a big comeback in our culture over the next century. And the reason for that is very much what I talked about in Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, which is when you are exposed to an infinite amount of information and you are constantly stimulated and you are, everybody has access to all the information, the question of what is worth caring about becomes the most important question, period. You know, because it's 50 years ago, the question, what should I care about? Like, that's a very privileged question. Like, if you're a farmer in Africa in the 1960s, or if you are a soldier in World War II, or if you are, you know, in a gulag in the Soviet Union in the 1920s, like, you don't have that opportunity to sit there and be like, well, what is worth care? Like, it's life is so difficult and so there's so much struggle and there's so much scarcity that it's very easy at any moment to decide what to care about. And as things get better and more comfortable and more information is available to everybody, the more difficult that question of what to care about becomes. And that's very much kind of the basis of the second book as well. That's the starting point of the second book. And so when I was reading all this philosophy a couple of years ago, it struck me, it's like, man, like these debates over, consequentialism and deontology and virtue ethics and all these things that philosophers have been having for hundreds of years, like I could very much see versions of that bubbling up into pop culture and into arguments in the 21st century of what is worth caring about. You know, when you have all of the internet at your fingertips, what is worth listening to and paying attention to? And so for that reason, I see moral philosophy is actually like very much underpins these fundamental questions about values and how we measure success in our lives. And if you read Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, you know that I believe that values and metrics underlie happiness and fulfillment and how we feel about our lives and living a good life. So ultimately, we all need moral philosophy, and whether we realize it or not, like this is the OG real shit, and self-help has just been playing in the shallow end of the pool the last 100 years. So that's that first point. The second point about Kant specifically is that Kant, in the realm of moral philosophy, Kant is both a titan and also very controversial, because Kant had very boldly made the argument that there are objective values that are objectively better than other values. Most philosophers say that, you know what, anybody can value whatever they want. Everybody's different. You can't prove that somebody's values are better or worse than other people's. And that even today, that tends to be kind of the common assumption among everybody. Kant went completely against that. He was like, no, some things are right and some things are wrong, and there is a way to like rationally and logically prove so. And so he spent much of his career trying to deduce these principles that determine what values were better than others. And to me, I just admire, while I'm skeptical of his efforts, I admire the hell out of him for doing so. And it, even to this day, he is loved and hated and debated across every university in the Western world. Everybody who learns about his moral ideas generally has a strong reaction one way or the other. It's very easy to argue against him, and it's very easy to argue for him. And so it's, these things have just been going on for hundreds of years. But Kant had these things called categorical imperatives. And basically what categorical imperatives are he asked himself, he said, you know, if there is such thing as an objective universal value, then it must be something that is desirable by everybody. So, if I value money, I can't just value money when I have money. I have to value money, you know, when everybody has money. It needs to be a good thing in all contexts for everybody, not just for me whenever I want it. And it's a very simple idea on the surface, and it intuitively makes a lot of sense, but then it becomes very easy to poke holes in it. You know, it's even something as simple as like, don't lie. Well, what if a serial killer comes to your door and asks, where your brother is, and your brother's in the back room? Do you lie? Well, yeah, most of us would lie in that situation, but Kant would say, no, you can't, because that would violate a categorical imperative. So you get all these debates springing up around it. So Kant tried to come up with a few of these categorical imperatives. And in my mind, the most profound and the best one I thought was this formula of humanity. And I don't know if it can be universalize, but my take with Kant's stuff is, you know, these objective values or these universal principles, they may be things that it's not possible to live them out. They're simply things that we strive for. And so what is actually living a good life is simply being better at living out the formula of humanity than you were before, and recognizing that you can never live it out perfectly, because there are competing moral impulses within ourselves. And I think that makes sense to me, but you know, Kant was a little bit, he was kind of hardcore. But anyway, I just wanted to introduce this idea to people in a fun way that would engage them. And I was very, very pleased with how well this article went over. In fact, qualitatively, in terms of like opinion-based feedback, this article was one of the most positively received that I wrote in a long time. And I was working on my new book, Everything is Fucked, the book about hope, and I knew I was going to have a chapter on Nietzsche, and I knew I was probably, like, I really wanted to talk about Kant, and this article very much gave me the courage to make that book as philosophical as it is, which I'm glad I did, you know, even though it made it less accessible to some people. I'm very, very proud of how philosophical that book was. So this article was a big deal for me personally.